and welcome to episode 47 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm Josh. I feel like we've done this before.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. We did it, and we recorded a 47th episode, and something happened. Maybe
bandit. Pixies came. Yeah, it's
the
ghost.
Yeah, the Pixies. We went and saw the Pixies for our podcast, and we interviewed them, and then
and now no one will ever get to hear it.
Yep.
I guess.
Yep. And Frank Black is what was happened. Like, "If God is heaven."
Yeah, remember that part, Zane?
I remember it so well.
Now, we recorded a New Year's episode, and it was really great because Josh spent the whole time yelling at me.
Oh, man, Josh and, was ranting so hard.
I didn't yell at you.
You were yelling at someone.
I yelled at the sky like I normally do.
This guy, Sean.
Shaking your fist.
Anyway, we lost it. I lost it. It's my fault.
No, it's fine.
The computer ate it.
It happens.
So we're back with another 47th episode of Cracking the Spine.
The first of the new year. Mm-hmm.
In the third week of the new year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
So, let's get right to it. Zane, what are you reading?
A whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, Zane! Zane!
We were off for 2 weeks,
dude.
I know.
And the whole time I was like, man, I have a bunch of books to read. And I just never got around to reading. I could not motivate myself to read.
Dang, son.
I know. And I kept, like, thinking in my head, I was like, I'm going to get back and I'm going to say, like, I read, like, 2.5 books. And it just never
it's
happened.
It's infectious.
Seriously.
I sit too close to Josh during the podcast.
Yep.
Man. It's like illiteracy herpes.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Fallout 4.
Josh is reading Fallout 4.
Been playing it.
Are there books in Fallout 4 that you can read?
Like in Skyrim?
No, you get the tapes. They're the little tapes that you put in your little Pip-Boy thing.
Do you read them?
They're audiobooks.
Can you turn on subtitles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
subtitles. It counts!
Total books.
Yeah, I have the subtitles on because sometimes I can't hear them talk.
Are you playing as a wood elf?
Woman.
I'm trying to relate this to Skyrim.
Woman wood elf?
Redheaded woman.
Khajiit?
High elf.
Has wares. Yeah, high elf. In the Fallout.
Where does it take place? It's in Boston,
Boston.
Right?
Yeah. I you said that, Zane, that you wanted to play
I
it.
I do. I still do really want to play it.
There's lots of Boston.
I know, and I really want to play it, but I don't have a
Is it
PlayStation
good?
4.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's
I mean, I would say,
Skyrim.
Yeah, it's good because it's keeping you from reading, but honestly, nothing has kept you from reading before. Literally, not one thing, and you didn't read, so...
Anything and everything
Damn.
Is everything has kept me. So nothing could refer to everything if you look at it a certain way, from a certain point of view.
So it looks like we're just picking up exactly where we left off with the last episode 47.
2016.
You're going to start talking about calendars?
Because
that could set
anything.
Them off.
Time is meaningless. It is.
Yeah, okay. Sean, what are you reading?
Jesus Christ. Nothing.
What?
No, kidding, I'm totally kidding. I finished The Bazaar of Bad Dreams by Stephen King.
Was
which,
it good?
No, it was not.
What?
It wasn't. It was...
Yeah, you were, like, lukewarm on it the last time.
First of all, it took me forever to get through it. Like, I was reading... I mean, I was really busy just to, like... I didn't, you know... The holiday season in a bookstore, thankfully, this year, was incredibly busy.
Oh, I was here. It was
busy.
Bananas.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't really feel like reading when I got done
right.
work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, But that being said, the book just didn't grab me. There's, like, a few stories in there that are okay, but, like, I don't know, like, I'm, you know, some of his old short story collections have some really, really, like, The Shawshank Redemption was a short story
yeah.
in one
yeah.
of his collection. The Green Mile was written as short stories. The Mist, like, is
yeah.
fucking still terrifying. This didn't have a single story like that, and I can't remember if I mentioned it in an episode that we actually posted, but, in one of the stories that's in this book was in the last collection
yeah,
of short
you
stories.
Mentioned that.
Yeah, I don't know if it went up there or not. Like it was like verbatim. Like I'm reading along and I'm like, this feels really familiar.
Yeah.
So I Googled it
yeah.
and I was like, oh, it was in Full Dark No Stars. Like the same exact story.
Yeah, yeah. We did talk about this before and we talked about how like
Green Day
that with songs.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
But again, I think that was in episode 47.
That might have been.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Stephen King, the Green Day of authors.
Time is a flat Green Day.
Time is a flat Green Day.
So after that, I started, it's much to the joy of some of our listeners, a book that isn't out yet.
What is it?
It's called Lovecraft Country by Matt Ruff.
Okay.
Who's one of my, like one of those authors
yeah,
that I read like everything by.
Yeah.
I'm about a little bit less than halfway into it. It's like the segregationist South in the 50s, and there's a black family who runs afoul of some white supremacists
who may or may not. It's tough if you're a black family.
Yes, definitely.
To run afoul of them.
It is. It is. It's it is not much to their discomfort. And they're like just starting to cross into some like Lovecraftian,
really?
Like actual H.P. Lovecraft, like monsters and alternate dimensions.
I never realized.
Sounds kind of cool.
It's super cool. It's really good.
I never realized before how much people emulate that. Like, that, like in a book that Abomination, there's a little bit of that. The Fold
has
is
a little
like
bit of that.
Super yeah. Lovecraft.
Well,
I realized like how many like people.
Like it's right there in the title. Like it's
yeah, oh,
it's
yeah,
called
no, that, yeah,
Lovecraft
yeah.
Country.
Yeah,
but like he, and like he's like one of the characters loves the novels of Lovecraft. Like it's a thing.
Well, they don't call it Suckcraft.
That's true. They don't. They call
I guess
it Lovecraft.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they you know if they did, then we that would be what it was called.
Right.
Right.
But we don't know it as that.
But maybe in one of those quantum universes with the Berenstein Bears.
Oh, right.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was a thing.
Remember when everyone was like, I'm right. I remember everything like a computer. It's
yep.
just, that's
yeah.
how it is.
Yep. Therefore, the universe yep. has changed on us.
People's memories are typically really reliable.
Yeah,
that's
generally.
That's why they let you do that in court.
I was going to say, generally,
yeah.
courts will
yeah.
love eyewitness accounts of things.
Yeah.
Especially children.
So, cool. I'm the only person on a book podcast
Sorry.
Reading a book.
You know what? Today I was going to sit down and read, and I've been in the mood. I've been in the mood to read. I have been.
Just remind you of that Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns builds a recycling plant, and he makes the windows out of old beer bottles, and he finds Barney
licking
him. And he goes, I thought I told you not to lick my windows. And he's like, you did. And when I woke up this morning, I said to myself, Barney, you're not going to go lick that man's window. And then he just closes the window in his face.
That's me.
That's you. I was going to read a book, Fallout 4, I'm gone.
I didn't play it today. I was actually doing things today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
We said yeah.
I was licking windows.
All right. Cool. So let's take a little break, and when we get back, we have another listener suggestion to get to right here on Cracking the Spine.
I guess. I'm cracking the spine.
I guess.
Man.
Yay, I'm Zane.
I'm next. I'm Josh next. Go.
I'm going to lose this episode.
On purpose.
I'm deleting this episode.
Oh no, it happened again.
Oops, sorry. Oopsies. Let's record episode 47 forever.
Infinite loop.
So we got a listener suggestion from a listener named Paige. Who happens to be my wife.
Weird.
Well, it was a good suggestion.
It is a good suggestion.
Zane, go ahead. What do we got?
She suggested that we talk about authors who don't fulfill expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. This is a big one.
Such as the recent news that George R.R. Martin has not yet finished the Game of Thrones book.
The Winds of Winter.
Yeah.
He hasn't finished it yet. I didn't hear this.
He hasn't finished it yet.
Yeah, no, what he announced, the announcement was he's not going to finish it
before
like
show.
It won't be on the
shelves.
Well,
it was supposed to, his deadline was like the end of 2015.
Deadline was like 3 years ago,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, no, his most recent deadline. I actually, did you read his blog post about it? Because
no.
I read it.
No, I don't read anything that he writes unless it's the Game of Thrones.
Voice?
I don't know his voice.
I think it's like this.
Really?
I think he talks kind of like, I'm George R. R. Martin.
All right. I guess that's probably the best George R. R. Martin
I'll
impression
allow
I've
it.
Ever heard.
But I actually read his live journal post.
What the hell year is this?
Because I guess that's where he posts these things. I don't know.
George R. R. Martin.
I don't know
Zanga.com.
If that's like,
frowny face. Didn't finish my book.
Dude, on Live Journal, when you post it, you can post like what mood you're in, and
yeah,
his
yeah.
mood was depressed.
Oh man!
But I don't know if that's like where he always posts his blog. I have no idea, or if like he also posts it to Live Journal. But wherever I was, I forget.
Did he redirect you to his Friendster?
Well, I was reading an article.
We get it. It's an old blog.
I was reading an article about it, and I like clicked the link to the original blog post, and it took me to LiveJournal. So
what did he say?
He said that, he knew that in order to get it published before the newest season of Game of Thrones, uh-huh. he was going to have it done by Halloween, and he agreed to that in, I think he said, May.
Okay.
It sounded like 2015. Mm-hmm. And then, come the start of fall, he knew that he wasn't going to make Halloween, and so they agreed to basically do, to rush the book to print, and so they were like, if you can get it in by the end of 2015, we can still have it out before the season premieres. Blog post was about, was like, I didn't make it, guys, and it's not going to be out. He was like, I don't know when it'll be finished. I obviously can't stick to deadlines, so I'm not going to give you another one.
That's fine, except this is not going to go over very well.
It's already not going over
very well.
Actually, apparently, because the article I read 2 days after that was that, he was blown away by the amount of support that he got from people that were like, hang in there, George, don't worry about it.
The drugs that they want. That's why.
Well, that's true.
Like when you date your dealer, and then your dealer bangs another person, and you're like, that's okay, just need the drugs inside that you have.
Yeah, that's something I can relate to.
Just like that analogy you made.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Made a lot of questionable life choices.
We've got hours of recordings of me bitching about George R.R. Martin's inability to finish what he's doing.
I'll say this though, as a creator of stuff, deadlines stink. And if anyone who makes things, a deadline sucks. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes a deadline.
Yeah, but I think at a certain point you have to have deadlines, or else this happens.
Right.
Because he's now the 800-pound gorilla as far as this thing is concerned.
Talk about his weight.
Give that a second.
Stop talking about my weight.
I think it's just kind of turning into Bane.
I'm doing Bane now.
So anyway,
Bane R.R. Martin.
I think certain projects have to have deadlines, or else nothing gets done. You don't have a reason. Because otherwise, you work with creative people. You're a creative person yourself.
You have to have a deadline.
You can keep messing with shit forever.
Right, you can, and that certain type of people will do that.
That's what I mean. George R.R. Martin.
George R.R. Martin. But I think it sucks doubly because he's got two deadlines, because he's got the demand to just get the book out, and now he's got this HBO crap where, they're going to put stuff from that book. I mean, I'm assuming that it's all, tied together.
He's doing it like a quantum split here, where the universe is going completely different directions.
If he does that, that's equally as bad.
Right.
Because, then you just did that because you had to,
yeah.
And, you're not making a creative choice to do that. I don't know, man, I don't really care, because, I don't... I just watch the show.
Right,
I
and you don't the read books. Them, do you, Zing?
I read, the first, I want to say two or three.
Okay.
I honestly can't remember.
Game of Thrones.
I was not motivated to keep reading, because I don't like them.
Dancing with Dragons.
That's the fifth one. Dance with Dragons.
Jeopardy.
Nope. Jeopardy is not one of the
definitely.
Books.
Jeopardy in the Snow.
It's Game of Thrones, Feast for Crows, Clash of Kings...
Yeah.
I think I read three.
And then the fourth one, and then Dance with Dragons.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember the fourth one.
It's right behind me.
Something in the Wind?
Storm of Swords.
Storm of Swords.
Yep.
That's
Storm.
It.
I was close.
Because the Winds is this one. The Winds
of
Winter.
Winds of Winter.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know why, I would have probably tried to get it done.
That's all right.
I mean, I don't think HBO or anyone's going to be you're done, Martin.
Well, I mean,
he kind of has them by the ball.
There's probably a whole department at Random House of publicity people and sales reps, and they're just all right, let's go.
He's that's the thing. He's in industry now.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And that's
it's dangerous.
People are relying on you to have their jobs be jobs.
Uh huh.
Because they need to do their job. And I don't know. I mean, I guess don't rely on George R. R. Martin to have to be your employer.
That's right. If you need a ride home from the airport, download the Uber app. Do not call George R. R. Martin.
Don't call George. Be like, oh, I forgot. I was too busy looking at my turtles and making up a story about them.
Just one more turn on Civilization 5.
That's better than mine.
I don't even... I'm doing an impression of your impression.
I think you're getting closer.
It's not Baney enough.
Oh, Batman showed up.
If I keep going, though, it's just going to turn into Cher, because all my impressions eventually turn into Cher. Ask my wife. I don't know.
What does that mean?
It means eventually when I do an impression for long enough, it ends up sounding like Cher.
I don't think that's a problem.
Do you believe in life after love?
That's, like it all. That's George.
That's a really bad that's, Cher.
That's the best Cher since Cher. Sure.
But what are people, like, expecting of this book, though? Like, what, like...
A book? I mean, well,
they
I don't
want,
know.
They
like,
want to know if Dingus is not... Look, spoilers, whatever. They want to know if Dingus is not dead.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow, right.
They want to know
which
who...
Which he's not, because if you watch the show, he's not.
They want to know who Jon Snow's mother is.
Oh,
they
want
to know what happens to the warg...
Bran.
Thank you, Bran Stark. They want to know if Daenerys can assume the throne of Westeros. There's a lot of balls in the air, dude.
I know, there's a lot of balls everywhere in that show, but... But I don't know.
Really.
I don't know. It's like, what are some other authors though that like have disappointed people? Well, you just said like Stephen King disappointed you.
Yeah.
He's phoning it in real hard.
That's it. Yeah, and that is. I mean, the question was expectations, right? Like,
yeah.
Like meet expectations.
Yeah.
And
which
I,
in this case is like completing a book,
right?
Which
but
is like the basic expectation
of an author, maybe, you know. Like.
But I mean, I guess there's a lot of ways that. Others could
but like Stephen
fail
King,
to meet your expectations.
Like, yeah. Stephen King was writing the Dark Tower series, and it took him, like, 35 years,
yeah.
Right? And then he got into that car accident. I mean, not no, he didn't get into a car. He got run over by a drunk driver.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, man, he took his time doing the Dark Tower, now he's gonna die, instead of being like, oh, man, I hope he's okay.
I hope he doesn't die.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like an effed up way to say, I hope my favorite author doesn't die.
Not even my favorite author doesn't die. It's an effed up way of saying, I hope I get to read that thing.
Yeah.
I hope the guy gives me my drugs.
It's so weird to me because, like, I mean, having expectations is so bad when it comes to stuff like this.
Well, that's what I was going to say with the Dark Tower. He finished it. He wrote all seven of those books, and it's done. And a lot of people fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was going to say about, like, George R. R. Martin is that, like, I think at this point, if he made any mistake, it was... licensing the story to be made into a show before
he was done
the series was completed.
Yeah.
And I mean, having read the blog, in the blog, what he basically said was he did not think when he did that, whatever, 6, 7, 8 years ago, he did not think that the show would catch up to him.
Does he know about time?
Well, in
time
I mean, in fairness, there's a lot of stuff that they're leaving out. Right,
absolutely.
I mean, for the interest
but,
of television.
But I think like that was his mistake, and now like if I'm going to use the word rush, but I mean like relative to him
right.
as a person, if he rushed the story
Don't
and
rush
rushed the
me.
Publication of the book, like rushed finishing the book, and it was bad,
right?
You know, everyone would
yeah.
be pissed off about it. How honestly, as it is, however the series ends, people are not going to be happy.
It doesn't
right.
matter.
It's
He's
not
going to
be
himself.
What they wanted.
It doesn't.
And it was already probably always going to differ from the way that the television show went and was told. And, you know, so now he made the decision to... instead of rushing it, to keep working. And he, again, like, this is just from his blog post, but he says, you know, he rewrites, he already went back, he was fixing stuff that he didn't like, he was changing crucial points. So, you know, to him, he's trying to put out the best story that he can.
Right.
He's being an author, an artist. He made that decision,
right.
And he has the power to make that decision.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
He has all
you know,
the balls in the
at
courts.
The end of the day, and he said in the blog, like, is it going to differ from the show? Yeah. Yes, it will. And no, it won't.
Right.
You know, and I think like the last line was like, enjoy the show, enjoy the book when it comes out.
He doesn't understand about the internet.
Well, he's on LiveJournal.
Right.
I mean,
he hasn't gotten to like 2011 or 12 when people
I didn't think the internet was going to catch up to LiveJournal. Now he's just newsreel announcer.
Whatever he decided to do, like the book has gotten so big.
Right.
The story has gotten so big, not the book, just it, the whole world, this whole thing has gotten so big that no matter what he does, he's fucked. I mean, if he made a different decision, everyone would be up in arms.
It's approaching...
That he was rushing the publication of it and the story was going to be shit and I always knew that this book was going to be crappy, you know, and now, like, he's delaying it so that he can do a better job. And when it comes out, people are going to be disappointed because they think that that's what makes, like, that... Being critical of things on the internet makes you smart.
Speaking of which...
He's the new George Lucas.
I was going to say, the other thing that had been mentioned in this suggestion was not just George R. R. Martin, it was Star Wars. Because unless you've been living in a cave in the moon with your fingers in your ears, you know that The Force Awakens has come out.
Yeah.
Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Zane shuddered when I said that.
She shivered. I'm cold.
She got spooked.
Also, I'm not looking forward to wherever this conversation goes.
I'll be good. No.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, talk about expectation, right?
Right. So, and
this has not just the expectation of Star Wars, which is enough of a...
Enormous.
A weight to have to carry, but it has the expectation of the first Star Wars movies since the sequels. Which were...
The prequels.
Thank you. I meant the prequels.
I know what you meant.
Which were basically destroyed by every live journal blogger on the internet. Everybody with a, MySpace account has been tearing those movies apart since they hit the light of day.
It was like...
Because they know more about what that world needed than the person who created that world.
Because they own it.
Right.
Not the person who owns it. Right. They own it. And that's the thing about expectation. Like, you have to be real careful about anything, even if in your real life, like... If you have an expectation, you better learn real quick that it's not going to happen that way.
Right. Expect the worst, but hope for the best.
The universe don't give a shit about your expectations.
And I think it comes back to our discussion about, who owns these stories.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, as much as you love a story as a fan, you have nothing to do with it.
Right.
You just get to enjoy the end product or not.
Or not.
And it's an interesting thing about that because there was an interview, Lucas gave an interview on New Year's Eve, to Charlie Rose, and he was asked about The Force Awakens, and he in a very diplomatic way, basically said that he didn't like it. That it's not where he thought it should go. It's not where he would have taken it.
Well, also he's butthurt that it's doing really well without him.
Well, then what happens is, like you just said, Zane, who owns it? And the fact of the matter is, he doesn't own it anymore.
Right.
He literally sold it to Disney for $4.5 billion.
Yeah.
So like. That goes a long way to mollifying, like, your butthurt feelings. Or you think it would.
Well, for him, maybe it doesn't matter. But if it didn't, then he should have just kept it and done whatever he wanted. I mean...
Like, you have to imagine that, he tried to resurrect this series and failed spectacularly.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else swoops in to do it with Disney money. And, everyone loves it,
right?
And you have to imagine that he's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
I just fucking tried and I couldn't do it. Are you kidding?
Well, I mean,
you have to imagine that that would make someone defensive or butthurt.
I don't know. Is it? But then, like,
so I can see him being like, yeah, well, I mean, I didn't like it. It's not what I would have done. Like, yeah, well, maybe that's why everyone liked it.
This might be another topic for another day. But like, were they abject failures? I mean, they're three of the highest grossing films of all time.
They made a lot of money.
And they stayed true to the vision
that
he gave them.
I guess
them.
I should have said, like,
critically.
Critical.
Okay.
No, I mean they're not very good movies, but the star of the movie the star of the movie is the Star Wars universe.
It's the universe.
And he thought that was going to be good enough for people.
Right.
And he misjudged that. In another dimension somewhere, he didn't. You could have gone anyway. You could have gone...
The Berenstein Bears one.
But now, now, like, what they're doing with movies is they're especially Disney with all these Disney owned like Marvel movies and stuff. They're just making movies with really strong characters in them, and that's where they're making their money. That's where they're making their bread.
That's what they've always. I mean, if you stop and think about it, that's what they've always done. And like all this backlash that's going on with the Rey toys thing, if you haven't seen and you probably have the toy line that's come out with Star Wars. Features very prominently all of the male characters, despite the fact that the true hero of the movie is the female, is the woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rey. And there's been this, backlash. And actually, I read a comment the other day. It was like, guys, it's not like Disney knows how to market to girls or anything. And it's like, yeah, like, you can't even, like, they don't even have that excuse. Yeah. Like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing better than Disney. This is deliberate.
Right.
Disney wants to make heroes and princesses. Yep. But J.J. Abrams didn't give them a princess, so they went, all right, no toys. Girls aren't going to buy them.
Right.
But, you know, but ultimately, going back to the expectations conversation, it matched my expectations if it didn't exceed them. Now, part of that is, I had a set of expectations based on the fact that I don't really care for J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah.
I didn't like Super 8. I didn't like the two Star Trek movies that I saw. And let's not even talk about Mission Impossible. Like, really, like...
Yeah, he makes not very good movies.
But then, he made The Force Awakens, which is a really good movie. Josh?
I enjoyed it. There was some J.J. crap in there, and for me, it's really hard to get over it. But it's a Star Wars movie, and there were a lot of things that he did right, a lot of things that I don't know if he did it on purpose or just the way that these stories are told and the way that they are, but he took a lot of things that I liked. But, you know, there's some stuff where it takes you out of the movie, and that's what bothers me the most about it. But I'll get over it. He's not doing the next one, so whatever.
But it's, I mean, like...
As far as his movies are, this is the best one he's made.
Hands down, like, easily. Absolutely. Like leaps and bounds. Okay. Zane is looking like she would rather be anywhere else in the world. Guys, I wish you could see the look on her. She's literally,
physically,
like, shrinking
squirming
into herself. Not making eye contact with anybody.
Like, oh God.
The part of the problem is we can't go as far into this conversation as we want to because we don't want to spoil the movie yet.
She said I have to endure it later.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the things that I didn't like, but I could talk about vague or generally the things I did like. The Rey character, awesome. Great character. And it reminds me of a lot of characters in other Star Wars things that aren't considered canon.
Right.
And I don't know if they did that on purpose. If he did, great. That's awesome. Thank you for that as a Star Wars fan.
Like, and part of the reason I loved it and Rey and it rather so much is when I saw it, I was sitting next to my 5-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, first of all, so there's like that feeling of when, you know, like going to Disney World with your kids, or so I've heard. Like, you get to see it through their eyes, and it becomes, like, a whole new experience.
Right.
Like, there was that going on. I felt like a little kid again.
Right.
But also, like, the hero of the movie, and one of the most powerful characters, like, in the new canon, is a girl.
Yeah,
and,
it's cool.
Like, is a badass. And, like...
Well, they do a lot of that.
I have a 5-year-old that, like, is going to come up in that world. I know, like, they do it in the old expanded... What do they call it now? The Legacy Legend? Or
no, they do it in, like the Old Republic. Like, females are, they're just normal, like, everyday heroes like every other male is.
But in terms of, I mean, like, the most... There are seven Star Wars,
it was
like, totems.
Really powerful to see this kind of movie, like, that is guaranteed to be a commercial success. Everyone is going to see this movie. It was really powerful to watch a movie like that. And the two main characters are a woman and a black man.
Right.
Like, it was amazing. And at no point were you like,
And at no point did the movie be like, you can't do that, you're a girl.
Yeah.
Or like, who can...
It just was like, you were like into it, like from the second everything started, you were like, yes, that. Like, they were heroes and they were so clearly like our heroes and our protagonists, and it was amazing to watch. Like, that was done really, really well. And it was incredible. Like, what an incredible choice to make. To make a film that features
that's
people
that
like
big.
That.
It's that big
on that level.
It's the biggest movie ever.
Yeah.
It's going to be. There's no question. It's going to make the most money.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no.
That's awesome.
They do a really good job of that, and they got...
Stop hating on it, Josh.
Yeah, Josh, God.
They do a good job
of it. What is this, the Butthurt episode?
I mean, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I'll watch that every time it's on. I mean, there are some things in Guardians of the Galaxy that I'm like, why did that happen? But at the end of the movie, you're like, that was really fun, and I like those people in that movie, and I relate to it. And maybe that's all a movie has to be. And maybe, like, you know, maybe my expectations need to be curbed more.
No.
But I will say...
Is that Josh maturing right before our very eyes?
No.
Okay.
But I will say that every other J.J. Abrams movie is horseshit.
All right.
So we got out of this one.
From your mouth to God's ears.
So we got out of this Star Wars, and okay, it was good.
Relatively unscathed.
We made it through the woods without hitting a deer. Now we're on the highway.
So, getting back to expectations, can you think of, I mean, Sean, you brought up Stephen King, like, can you think of another
author
or another like instance where an author or a story didn't meet your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a lot because we've talked about this, like the reason I can think of a lot of them is because I tend to read everything that an author writes.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I find an author who I like, I read all of their works. And ultimately, you know, some works will be better than others.
Yeah.
And if I read the best thing that author's ever read, my expectation is that the next thing I'm going to read is going to be as good, if not better.
Right.
Right.
So like my brain goes to Chuck Palahniuk, who I don't read anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because he's actually like, my expectation of him was like, yeah, it's going to be graphic and yeah, it's going to be over the top, but there's also going to be like a compelling story and at least one person, mm-hmm. I don't want to say to care about, but one mm-hmm. person that like I want to hold, like that I can hold on to and view the world through their eyes. And like his past three or four novels, it just hasn't been the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's gotten so in love with his form and his craft of like, you know, really short staccato sentences and like just getting a lot done with a little bit of words.
Mm-hmm.
That like I'm just like yeah that I'm off of Chuck Palahniuk for a little while.
Yeah, I was thinking about it like when we decided on that topic today, and like sometimes you catch an author in like when they're in the zone or anything, a musician, music, whatever, and you just get them at the right time and like they're at the right point in time for like society and like
right.
It kind of just all makes sense, and that's not always like you're not always gonna be like Dave Chappelle in 2004 just like. Making a show that's a hit. Every episode is hilarious.
Right.
You know, at some point, the ride's going to end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because Dave Chappelle, like, you know, bugged out and like ran away.
Because of the expectation.
Right, ran away from it all because
yeah.
it was too much for him.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Chuck Palahniuk's first novel, Fight Club, was the one that got him the big contract, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there was no expectations on him. Like, he was still just like, this is the story I have to tell and this is how I'm going to tell it. And now it's become more of like, well, this is the story they expect of me, so this is the story I have to tell.
Yeah, you start to resent. It starts to become a job then. It starts to become like, oh, I have to do this. And
it's not as much of a creative outlet as it is like meeting a deadline for an edit.
It's kind of interesting, though, to
like, you're kind of extending like that courtesy to him, but you weren't willing to do it to George R.R. Martin earlier.
What do you mean?
Well,
I haven't given up on George R.R. Martin.
I know that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that like you're... Like, even though you don't read Chuck Palahniuk anymore, you're like, well, but, you know, like, he was not given the room. Like, he has to meet these expectations, and he's not given the room to, like, be creative anymore.
I had wanted to say that to you when you were saying about, like, when you were saying that, like, with the blog post that he didn't use the word rush, but, like, he doesn't want to rush this book out. And, like, I don't want him to. I don't want him to alter his creative process just to get the book to market, right?
Right.
But that doesn't mean that, like, I mean, like... The spotlight has never been on another. I can't think of another author who's had this kind of a spotlight put on him for one single work.
Yeah.
Not with so many things riding on it. Like the only other thing I can think of is the last Harry Potter book.
But she hit the deadline. She didn't postpone that book.
She always hits her deadline.
That's what I mean.
At some point it's apples and oranges because they're two different people with different creative processes.
But you said I'm not extending the same courtesy to Chuck Palahniuk. I'm moved on.
Well, I mean, like, lamenting that, like, maybe he's sort of in this box now where he can no longer, like, use his creativity, that he's pressured to sort of be more Chuck Palahniuk-y.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, George R.R. Martin, I think, is trying, I mean, I don't know him personally, but I think he's probably trying to write a good book. And
you read his live journal. I think you're best friends now.
at some point, I don't know, like, kudos to him for not caving to like the pressure to put out just like the most George R.R. Martin-y book ever.
Yeah,
and
no, like,
you know, I know that there's a lot riding on it, but at the same time, like, I don't know, like, it's not up to me when he finishes it. He's a very powerful writer. And I mean that, like, in terms of the industry, he has a lot of clout and a lot of power in the industry. And so he has the ability to make his own deadlines and to give himself
Definitely.
An extension if he wants.
And I think it's a super apples and oranges
that.
Thing. Like,
You know, like, I don't know, like, I always struggled with deadlines whenever I did anything artistic or creative. As soon as someone was like, yeah, you have to, like, you need 3 paintings by the end of the semester. It was like, oh my God, I don't even know what to paint. What like I would paint? Just immediately hit a roadblock. And so I feel like I have great sympathy for that. I mean, it's not even on the same level. Not even close.
Yeah, but if they were also paying
you, I was going like, to say, but if you're getting compensated,
millions of dollars, you might find the way.
Yeah, but
to do
also,
it.
Like, it's what is he not going to get the money because he doesn't reach his deadline?
That's
deadline?
What I was saying. Like, he
like,
has
I've,
all the
I've
cards.
I've been reading a lot of stuff too that's like, oh, well, you know, he is going to fall out of favor or something. Like, I don't think that's true. And also, like, I don't know, some authors take a really long time to write books. Like, just because people enjoyed the series doesn't suddenly mean that he's working for them. Like, he's
but
still working for himself.
Right, that's
he's
the
not
internet attitude,
the,
though.
Right.
They're like, well, I'm gonna just stop liking you.
But I don't think that's how I was approaching it. All of my butt hurt on George R. R. Martin has been from the discrepancies from the books to the show.
Yeah.
And like, and now it's going to be, and again, it's a matter that's been taken out of his hands. I mean, he gave control to have the matter taken out of his hands but to other people.
Yeah.
That like, I'm either going to see on screen what I'm going to then read later, or I'm going to see on screen what I'm not going to read later. And Josh is right. Like, it's catch 22. Like, it's a no-win situation. Except for the sales. Like, that's a lot of win there.
Well, I think from a marketing point of view, it's a win.
I mean, at this point, like, obviously,
they're going to buy the book.
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe, like, the end points might be the same. But, like, obviously, the show and the book are going to be different. To me, that seems even more exciting than if they were exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, if they were exactly the same, if you saw the show first, you'd be like, well, I guess now I don't even need to read the book. But, like, now there's, like, a huge motivator to still read the book. Like, you get to
I
hear
think it's
two
better,
different
though.
Ways that
I,
it goes.
I think it's better
it's cool.
To have the book come first. Just, if I were, like, an executive at HBO, I would be like, well, it would have been better if the book came out first for everybody, you know? Because, I mean, everyone kind of, the publishers especially want you to buy the book, and they want you to read the book.
Right.
But I also think, like, at some point, HBO could say, if it was that important, HBO could be like, well, you know what, we're going to premiere it in the fall instead.
Oh my
yeah,
God,
but
yeah.
I'm
but
just saying,
no,
like,
I hear you, I do.
I feel like there's other ways, but, like, HBO wants to keep going and run the show, fine. George R. R. Martin was like, here's, like, the basic plot points, run with it. Like, at some point, everyone who's actually involved in the creative process went, okay, we'll deal with this.
Right.
Yeah, you think
and
the
that's
show,
just
though,
the way
is going to
suffer go.
From it? I think the show might, because I don't know, man. I got the sense last year when they started, like, putting in stuff that they wanted, it didn't feel like the magic
was gone. Well, first of all, there's a lot of pieces moving around on the board right now.
Yeah.
And, like,
in the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Josh.
The
in
game,
the Game of
the
Thrones.
The Game of Thrones.
That's right. There's a lot of notes in the song
I call
of Ice Pat. And Fire.
I call big-breasted prostitute. I'm assuming that's a piece in it, like a Monopoly
piece. A Monopoly piece.
Yeah, I got it. I'm going to be the wrench.
There's no wrench.
From Clue.
From Clue,
oh.
You ding-dong.
Oh, I'm a Monopoly.
Yeah, the big-breasted prostitute from Monopoly?
Yeah.
No.
You don't have one?
Nope. All right. I think we've exhausted this thing.
Sure.
Right?
I think George R. R. Martin is an old man, and he don't give a flip.
I don't think he needs to.
I think he knows.
You do you, George.
I think he does give a flip because his live journal status was depressed.
And it was like a little like alien, like animated alien emoticon too.
I love that. It's awesome.
This sounds like you made this up. This sounds like this is a
dude,
bit.
I was like, when I clicked the link, it was like live journal. I was like, live journal? Am I really getting taken to a live journal page right now? And it loaded and it was like, live journal. Like, it was like,
oh my,
it's like
God.
Green text, like dark green text on like a black background.
I knew
like,
it was
oh
black
my God.
All right, we got to take a break now because I got to see this right now. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine, episode 47, part 2.
No, it's fucking episode 47.
Shut up, I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
Getting tired of the episode 47 jokes. Sean.
Yay!
Well, next week, when hopefully we have a 48, we'll get over it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's,
that was
that's
the
gonna
meanest
happen.
One yet.
That's gonna happen.
That
you guys
was
are
the
gonna
meanest
let
one.
It drop.
Boom!
We were looking at George R. R. Martin's live journal during the break.
It's what a way to ring in 2016.
It's pretty much as Zane described it.
Except it was gray text on like a dark gray background. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I reported it.
That's because he was. That's how depressed he was.
There was a crying alien. We screen grabbed it.
Yeah,
we'll it was sad. We tweeted it out. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So, once again, I know it's been a couple of weeks, but I really do want to give a huge thanks to everybody who listened and like sent great messages of support for the Christmas episode. We had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
I think it came out really good. I'm thinking maybe a Valentine's Day episode, guys.
Oh my God.
Maybe some love stories
extra
up in
kisses.
Here.
No.
Josh, extra kisses for you from my butt kisser.
What?
I'll be sick that week.
All right, Josh Bot, you're on.
Josh has a kissing disease.
Guys, I have mono. I don't.
I cannot catch or transmit diseases. I am superior.
Josh Bot.
Josh,
you are
get
better
out
than
of
me.
Here.
No, he's way better
Where's
than me.
Where's Bain R.R. Martin?
I'm here.
It changes every time.
Finish your book.
All right.
Anyway.
Happy New Year, and
thanks.
You know, as always, reach out. Twitter,
Facebook. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your mom.
Tell
the show.
Tell them.
Tell your dad if you want.
If you still talk to him.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, some people don't talk to their dads.
Yeah.
Zane's giving me a look.
Okay, it just seemed... All right.
And call your mom. She misses you.
Yeah, but, don't wait till Mother's Day.
Maybe call your dad, too,
because
maybe it's your mom that you don't talk to.
After you send us emails.
Yeah.
We're cracking the
sponge. Interact with us first.
We're Priorities. Done.
All right.
We're your new parents.
All right, so from Doylestown, where it's not cold.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.